CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The president may be blinking, ready to throw in the towel on the millionaire's tax.
I'm Peter Mayer at the White House. The White House has all but abandoned its previous constant call to fund the payroll tax cut by raising taxes on the wealthy. President Obama did not even mention the idea in his latest comments on the face-off with Republicans.
Right now, Congress needs to make sure that 160 million working Americans don't see their taxes go up on January 1st.
A spokesman blames lockstep GOP opposition for the demise of the Tax the Rich plan. It will be a surefire 2012 campaign issue. Peter Mayer, CBS News, the White House.
Homelessness is up and the pain of hunger is too. At the Mid-Ohio Food Bank, Colin Baumgartner says requests for emergency food assistance since the recession began are up 46%. And he says the problem's getting worse and spreading outward.
Really where we're seeing it now is our suburban pantries. You know, some of them are reporting 40, 50, 60% increases over just the last couple of years.
Glimmer of good news during the holiday hiring season. New unemployment benefits applications fell again last week. 366,000 new ones, the lowest number in 3 years. Analysts are saying they hope some of those jobs stick. The National Retail Federation says it now expects holiday sales for the November-December period to rise 3.8% to a record $469 billion.
Retailers say they expect to keep raking in the cash, with holiday shoppers spending more than ever before. With the still struggling economy, how could that be?
I wonder that question all the time, with the economy being as it is.
Are you spending more than ever?
No.
But this woman says it's just a matter of being tired of skimping for the holiday season.
Because we haven't spent in a long time, and now they're using that as an excuse.
Even she says if it means racking up more credit card debt. And this woman has another theory on why Americans will spend nearly $470 billion on the holidays.
Everything's just twice as expensive.
Dave Cohen for CBS News, New Orleans.
On Wall Street, the Dow has gained 48 points. NASDAQ's up a point. Oil's at $93.50 a barrel. The first female in charge of all the Army's drill sergeants may be in some kind of trouble. It is a mystery.
Command Sergeant Major Teresa King has been suspended while the military looks into what's being called an undisclosed personnel matter. The 50-year-old made history when she was selected as the first woman to lead the Army's drill sergeant school at Fort Jackson, South Carolina. King has held the job since 2009.
And CBS's Jim Crisula in North Carolina. It was ceremonial but solemn, the U.S. officially declaring in Iraq the end of the U.S. mission there. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta.
To all of the men and women in uniform today, your nation is deeply indebted to you.
He's in Baghdad behind the still fortified walls of what has been known as the Green Zone. But the men and women in green are leaving it, and it'll be called whatever Iraqis want to from here on out. This is CBS News.
It's a scientific fact. Men can only hear certain frequencies during football season. So the jewelry store at Macy's is sending subliminal messages over these radio wavelengths.
It's fourth and goal, and they need a touchdown. So, Bill Curry of Boston, Massachusetts, you better go for it, because your wife wants that sapphire and diamond ring for Christmas, and you need to score more than a field goal. Also, could you quit leaving your wet towel on the floor? It's seriously annoying!
She's trying to tell you something. This holiday, get her what she really wants from the jewelry store at Macy's.
Hey everybody, Jay Farner here, and I'd like to introduce the Yorgage from Quicken Loans. Our Yorgage is better than a traditional mortgage because it conforms to your goals. It's a fixed-rate home loan that allows you to custom design a term that works best for you, anywhere from 8 to 30 years. The rate today in an 8-year fixed Yorgage is an amazing 2.875%, APR 3.5%. Call today at 866-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
Call us for cost information. Other restrictions may apply. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
The Olympics will be in London next summer. It'll be the very definition of a security migrate.
Nearly 14,000 British military personnel will be deployed at next summer's London Olympics in what Defense Secretary Philip Hammond says will be
the biggest security challenge this country has faced for decades.
Among the military resources, Air Force jets, Navy warships, bomb disposal teams, and guards for the Olympic venues. Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
The burglary case presented itself and solved itself in the same hour. In Madison, Wisconsin, police say the two men in their 20s who stole DVDs and computer games from a Target store butt-dialed 911 and didn't realize they were going under the police recorder with an audience of cops as they discussed what they'd stolen and where they might sell it for an hour. They even described the car they were in. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Find your book at Macy's Men's Sale and Clearance. Your favorite names, the season's best styles, perfect gifts for the guy on your list. Save 50 to 60% on designer suits and sport coats, designer overcoats, and designer dress pants. Plus, take an extra 25% off your $100 men's store purchase with your savings pass. Savings start tomorrow in the men's store at Macy's. Savings off regular sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
Please listen to this important announcement from Pfizer, the makers of Lipitor, atorvastatin calcium tablets. Pfizer may help you reduce the cost of your monthly Lipitor prescription. For eligible patients, Lipitor is available for as little as $4 a month with the Lipitor copay card. Terms and conditions apply. To learn more, please visit Lipitor.com. See our ad in Cooking Light magazine. Learn more at Lipitor.com or call 1-888-LIPITOR.
Thursday, we got Thursday here, and we have things to talk about today. And also, Jim D is going to come in a day earlier than normal and be here at 1 o'clock this afternoon.
And now, here's Bill Benica.
And we're going to have Jimmy in at 1:05-ish.
Because people are busy. Holiday season, you know, people run around, they're doing stuff, things are happening, it's going on. Today, we're supposed to have some showers, and it's cold, and it's nasty, and it's nasty and cold and nasty. I don't like it. All right, now, this guy's sort of funny. Anyway, here's the thing. They have the big issue now going on in the Capitol with the idea of saying, okay, you got to ban cell phones from cars. Texting cell phones, completely ban them from automobiles. And so here's Henry Alford writes for Vanity Fair and the New York Times. He is the author of the upcoming Would I Kill You to Stop Doing That? A Modern Guide to Manners. So here's eight other things he says should be banned. I'm not going to read all the details. I'm just going to tell you what they are. Skiing or snowboarding while listening to an iPod. Applying eyeliner while riding public transportation. Lighting an oven by means other than a pilot light. Peering over the balcony of a skyscraper. Sticking your head out of the roof of a fast-moving limo. Thanking the doctor who performed open-heart surgery on you by sending her an email that reads simply THX. Using a paper shredder or fax machine while wearing a necktie. Calling someone honey if you are not Southern or if you're not a waitress.
Marcus G. With Bill Benica. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Get hooked on Charter and go where satellite can't. Get hooked on Charter Digital. Choice, convenience, clarity, control. Get hooked on Charter High Speed on your internet. It's faster, it's more convenient, and it's a lot easier. Get hooked on Charter DVR. Record programs when you want to see them. Watch them back when you want to see them. Get hooked on Charter HDTV and see the cleanest, clearest pictures you've ever seen on TV. Get hooked on Charter and go where satellite can't. Call 1-866-332-6749 today. That's 1-866-332-6749. Charter. Get hooked.
Looks like you're ready to do some honeydews. You've got a list, and what's with those knee pads?
I am ready to get her done.
Uh-oh.
We've got guests coming for the holidays, and Mom says we can't have any more plumbing problems like last year.
Yeah, I remember the kitchen faucet wouldn't stop dripping. The garbage disposal froze up at Thanksgiving, and the worst was when after dinner, your weirdo uncle wouldn't come out of the bathroom. What was that all about?
You know, don't even ask. It was ugly. And that's exactly why Mom's got me on the job.
Good thing you're starting early.
Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath has pre-holiday sale pricing on no-drip top-quality kitchen faucets, super-efficient insinerator garbage disposers, and powerful water-saving Toto toilets. To get sale pricing and an early jump on your holiday honeydews, go to Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath behind Trader Joe's in San Luis Obispo.
Bang right there. Get the whole thing done right there. Pacific Coast Kitchen Bath. Go see Brian the Guy and the gang out there, and they'll take care of you. Everything will be handled for you for Christmas. All right, now, Because, you know, the uncles that get in there, you know, we know what we're talking about. Get a Toto toilet. Then you don't have to ever wonder. All right, let's do our flashback, our Highland history, our whole thing right here from the Tribune. Highland history on December 15th of 1961, former Nazi official Adolf Eichmann was sentenced to death by an Israeli court for crimes against humanity. He was hanged 5.5 months later. On this date in 1791, the Bill of Rights went into effect following ratification by Virginia. In 1890, Sioux Indian chief Sitting Bull and 11 other tribe members were killed in Grand River, South Dakota, in a confrontation with Indian police. 1965, two U.S. manned spacecraft, Gemini 6A and Gemini 7, maneuvered to within 10 feet of each other while in orbit. It was a practice. 1971, the Secret Service appointed its first 5 female special agents. 1991, the Egyptian registered ferry, the Salem Express, hit a reef and sank in the Red Sea. At least 470 people died, although some estimates are much higher. My birthday today, actor, comedian, funny man, Tim Conway is 78. Actor Don Johnson is 62. Theater director Julia Taymor is 59. Rock musician Paul Simonen is 56. And the figure skater Surya Bonnelly, I hope I'm saying that right, is 38 today. Happy birthday to them and happy birthday to you if it's your birthday today.
Happy birthday to you.
How does a little shoe store like Mike's and the Slow Promenade seem so big? They start by taking assortment to a new level. Not just any assortment, but the brands people really want and the styles people really love. Mike, Annie, Shu Shun, and their entire crew at Mike's really know their stuff, and they're happy to make it work for you. The right people, the right place, all the time. You'll like Mike's and find what you're looking for in men's and women's shoes. Every time you hear this ad, you're just one pair away from the perfect number of shoes. Mike's Shoes at Southside Promenade.
CalCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
Mike's Shoes, Southside Promenade. Oh, we're going to do CalCoast News right now. And CalCoastNews.com, it's available to you at any time of the day or night, and you just go right on and you see all the stories that they're digging up there. All right, here, let's do this. This gets into Kelly Gearhart and all kinds of other people here, and it's a long, long story, so I'm not going to do the whole thing, but let me tell you basically what's going on. The local Selenian tribe has again applied for recognition from a federal government. Last week, the tribe sent 920 pounds of documents to the federal government supporting the tribe's request. Chris Molina, a spokesman for the Selenian tribe of San Luis Obispo and Monterey counties, told the Tribune the tribe is seeking to recapture its history and heritage through federal recognition. He said that opening a casino was not on the radar at this time, but something that could occur in the future. However, 1993, the Selenian tribe first petitioned the U.S. Department of the Interior for federal recognition. Without federal recognition, federal laws prohibit tribes from owning and running an Indian gaming casino or receiving federal funds for health centers and education. Molina approached the tribal council in early 2003 with assurances that four venture capitalists who went by the name of PMA could fast-track its plan for recognition, but they would have to sign a confidentiality agreement that not even the tribe's attorney would be permitted to read before they could hear the PMA proposal. North Cali developer Kelly Gearhart was one of the members of PMA, along with attorney Greer Jones, Molina, and Dan Phillips. The members of the PMA and the tribal officials entered into a contract to fast-track the tribe's application for federal recognition with the goal of eventually building a large Indian gambling casino on the northeast side of Paso Robles. That way, from there it went south and west and north and east and all that kind of stuff. So now they're trying to get now on their own and saying, okay, we want to be recognized as Selenian tribe and build a casino. As I've often said, we should petition the government to recognize those of us who live in California as Californians and allow Californians to also build a casino so that we can, you know, have our budget balanced eventually. It's just a thought, I understand, but it's one that I'm really stuck on. All right. And the San Luis Obispo County Hazmat Team was sent to investigate and clean up after someone detonated a device commonly called a chemical bomb shortly before 7 p.m. on Wednesday at Atascadero High School. Atascadero police said the explosion of the small chemical bomb did not cause any permanent damage and no one was hurt. However, it is a felony to make and detonate one of these jobs. The bomb maker apparently combined household cleaning supplies in a plastic bottle, sealed it, causing a chemical reaction that made the plastic bottle expand and eventually explode, a process frequently taught in high school science classes. This was an honor student just trying to get some extra credits, I believe. Is it outside the science bill room right there? Hey, the other thing's going on, calcosnews.com. The other things we want to tell you about right here. And that is the campus pepper spray incident is being probed. And, I mean, you can imagine UC Davis what's going on. Legislators and Rural University of California officials at a joint legislative hearing Wednesday set to examine the behavior of UC Davis campus cops who pepper sprayed sitting students and batted them with batons during November protests that resulted in nationwide attention. The panel of lawmakers listened to university officials' explanations of one-sided violence on the part of weapon-waving, heavily armed, and helmeted police, much of which was recorded by countless cameras and broadcast virally around the globe. One of those who appeared before the panel is UC Davis Chancellor Linda Katehi, I hope I'm saying her name right, who gave the orders to campus law enforcement officials prior to the incident. She apologized for the incident, added that more student protests are likely to occur if the budget cuts continue. Was there a meeting to discuss how to appropriately disperse protesters in the event it was necessary? And who participated in that planning? Asked Senate President Pro Tem Daryl Steinberg in a statement advancing the hearing. Was the use of force discussed? Were any explicit restrictions given? The answer to those questions are crucial to determine responsibility and accountability. We don't have answers to that yet, but sounds like they weren't. Okay. And that's our Thursday update from CalCoastNews.com. Don't forget, you can go to CalCoastNews.com anytime, and up in the upper right-hand banner, you can click on Talk is Cheap, and you can either listen to Talk is Cheap streaming live, or you can listen to any show on KYMS. And I'll be, well, thank you for doing it. So, happy Thursday.
CalCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
Right. We got Christmas music again today. Some of this will be more familiar than yesterday was. I forget what I was even called yesterday, what those people are called, but I stumbled across them and said, okay, we're going to give it a go. And I did, and it was okay. Okay, 17 minutes after the hour, 12 o'clock. Well, I guess the biggest thing is the biggest thing. Well, I don't know. It's hard to say which is the bigger thing. Let's just do this here, because this is highly disturbing. This is really disturbing stuff. But I'm going to try to undisturb you if I can. I'm going to try to undisturb you if I may. A little bit. But it's still a huge story. All right. If you recall, we had a Medal of Honor winner, and this was back a few months. And this was September 15th, and his name was Dakota Meyer. So here's what's happened. Here's the headline. Marines promoted embellished story for latest winner of Medal of Honor. So here's what they're saying. They're saying that this story may have been a little bit embellished by none other than Dakota Meyer. And so one person's comment was here. A prominent historian of military medals, Doug Sterner, expressed disbelief the idea the Marine Corps would publicize an account of a complex battle based solely on the recipient's recollections. Give me a break, Sterner said. A recipient is responsible for writing his narrative? I have never heard of such a thing. So anyway, what they're basically saying is that maybe this was somewhat padded in glory beyond what it actually was. However, they're also saying that by looking over the documents and by the evidence presented to them and the testimony of others that were there at the time, that irregardless of if this was made into more than it was still so extraordinary that this man would have gotten the Medal of Honor anyway. So, it was tweaked. So that what they're saying is was it tweaked. We'll use that term, was it tweaked. Now, I have to tell you something. Now, and again, there was without qualification that they said that this man, without any of his own testimony, would have received the Medal of Honor. Do they do things with medals for the purposes of an operation or a unit? I'm going to have to tell you yes. And I saw it with my own two eyes. They for reasons that they have, they say, okay, this is what we're going to do, and then this is what we expect the outcome to be because of it. It doesn't mean it's 100% false. It just means it's been somewhat altered. So that happens. The interesting thing is that, and it would be interesting if his account had much weight to any of it. But then if you go back to John Kerry, for instance, John Kerry was able to recommend himself for three Purple Hearts. And in the where in the unit that I was in, you could the commanding officer could not have recommended himself for anything. He ended up getting a Silver Star, I think, or maybe a Navy Cross, I believe. They could never have been, he could not have recommended himself for that. Somebody else had to recommend him for that. So the military has its own ways of doing things, sometimes very strange, as you can tell. But anyway, that's what's going on with that. So it's just too bad to try to have people say, well, do we need to add an asterisk to the guy's Medal of Honor? Apparently not. Apparently this man earned, you know, his Medal of Honor by his acts of bravery. But they said, well, maybe not everything you heard is exactly the way it was. But let me say something else, too, though, to be fair. If you went to, you go through a huge battle, you go through a huge battle, and you go to 10 different people and say, okay, what happened in this battle? I promise you, you'll have 10 different answers. You'll have 10 different answers because the perspective is from the person who was in the battle in a given place, time, moment, situation. So they're going to have an opinion, and the next person's going to have an opinion, and the next person's going to have an opinion, and that's it. But by the time you're done, if it was a really, really serious situation, you might say, well, but, you know, we ended up with this many guys killed and wounded. Okay, how did we get to that point? That's going to be very different, I think. On top of that, so now let me add, we might as well get all this out of the way here as far as our military. Because we have a ceremony, you know, going on today, and they're bringing the guys home and from Iraq, which is, the good news is they're bringing them home from Iraq. So these guys actually get to leave Iraq, you know, and not under any weird circumstances at all. And that, I think that's just absolutely kind of neat. The only thing is the other caveat to that is, that they're military guys. They could be assigned to Afghanistan in a week for all we know. I don't know how long it would take them to say, okay, guess what, you have another deployment. So there's that. Back in 1968, when the Paris peace talks first started, you know, those of us that were in Vietnam at the time thought, well, this is going to be great. They're going to come some kind of peace talks, and we'll all go home. You know, because they started the peace talks in, if I'm going to guess, you know, I would say March, April, maybe a little later than that. Anyway, it took 3 months to decide the table should be round. You know, at that point, we thought, you know, nobody's going home real soon. We were right. Yeah, then they had another story, another incident that happened over there, and this is the thing here. This has to do with the top secret documents that were found in a junkyard being used as fuel for a guy to cook his carp. Anyway, so a newspaper got hold of this whole thing, McClatchy News Service, and so they basically said, "What the heck's going on?" So what these documents involved was not only just regular documents that were secret, but they were documents that had to do with at Haditha on the Euphrates River town, where Marines killed 24 Iraqis, including a 76-year-old man, a wheelchair, women, and children. So it was one of those. It was not quite, but similar to the My Lai of Iraq. And the fact that those are the documents in particular that were not destroyed, and who was responsible for them. And of course, they talk all the time about the fact that we had as many contractor people in these wars as we had soldiers. So I don't know if they'll even try to trace it down or care. If they've recovered what they need to recover, so be it. And when wars end, when people come home, you know, I don't think anybody's really going to go backwards and beat this to death. I don't think so. But maybe in the future they might. You know, it happened with Vietnam. It happened with Korea. It's happened before. So there's the story of our military today, except for one last thing, and that is we have a Lance Corporal Cody Elliott arriving at the San Luis Obispo Airport today, and he stepped on an IED in Afghanistan in second tour of duty there and lost his left leg, finger, suffered facial injuries and broken bones. He's a Purple Heart recipient, of course. Anyway, he's coming to the airport around 2:38, so the welcome home people would like you to be there about 2:15 if you can. It's right across from right here. And wouldn't you know it, I mean, I was going to go over there. And then something's come up now here at work that I have to be here at work. You can't always win. But anyway, but a lot of people I think will show up, and I think it's going to be really cool. And you should show up if you can and bring friends and relatives and co-workers and anybody you can find. and say, welcome this guy home, because it's really going to be kind of cool. And I appreciate the fact that KSBY put this on this morning and mentioned it also. Cool. That's all I can say right there. All right, everything's going on. Okay, what else is going on there? There's so much. There's so many things. let's get to this. Putin and John McCain got into a little bit of a to-do. You know what I'm saying? And so basically what John McCain was saying is if Putin doesn't mind his P's and Q's, he could end up like Muammar Gaddafi. You know what I mean? And so Putin's like, you know, the only thing wrong with that is it comes from John McCain, who was put in a hole for about 3 years out of his 5 years in captivity from the North Vietnamese, and he's probably nuts. And that's kind of that's what he said. He's probably nuts. And so, and this is a concern that I've expressed myself along with others about John McCain. We worry about John after the duress that he went under, and you know how his noodle might work. But anyway, but now Vladimir Putin is saying, there's something not right with the guy. And so we have this sort of confrontation thing here. Okay. Now, they admitted today also, another big news story, I guess. It's not news at all, as a matter of fact. I mean, who's kidding who here? We admitted that the drone that we had was spying on Iran and its nuclear program. Duh. You don't use the most highly sophisticated drone you have to patrol the border. You don't need to. The predators work just fine, thanks. So anyhow, and they're still not going to give it back. All right, other things going on. All right, so we're done with that. We're done with those two fighting. Let me click that away there. Those two are done fighting. And what do I got here? Taxi driver that returns a back seat fortune.
What would you do if you found a fortune in the back seat of your taxi? For this cab driver in the central Chinese city of Wuhan, there was only one thing to do. He did the right thing. He turned it in. The careless passenger, though, got his 1 million Hong Kong dollars back. He was very lucky. That's more than 125,000 US dollars. And what did driver Liu Quan get for his trouble? Two more stars. He's now a four-star cab driver instead of two. And I really hope that having four stars is really the top of the pack because he deserves it.
That was, I have no idea what the end of that was.
It's a hole.
I really don't know. No one does. But it had to do with the fact that he's now a four-star cab driver.
Hey, Chair, ever heard the expression, 'tis better to give than receive?
Sure, every holiday season.
Well, this year, Shumash Casino Resort is giving in a really big way.
Oh, yeah? Well, how?
They're giving away BMWs, one every Sunday in December.
Wow, now that's what I call the holiday spirit.
Yeah, the BMW X5 features sleek European styling, precision handling, and luxurious burled walnut and leather interior.
Nice.
And Shumash Casino's giving four of them free.
Ooh, a new BMW for the holidays. Just what I always wanted. But now I feel bad.
Why's that?
Well, I didn't give them anything.
Come in for our four BMW X5 giveaways, together with free play drawings from 9 to midnight. There's a new car given away at 10 p.m. every Sunday in December. You can even earn double entries every Thursday. To qualify, simply play with your Club Shumash card.
Celebrate the season of giving.
Four BMW giveaways in December.
Only at Shumash Casino Resort.
I'm thinking about some dental implants. Give me a million-dollar smile. You know what I mean?
I know just the place. Swiss Dental Center.
No, I don't want to go to Switzerland. Figured I'd just stay here and get the work done.
You misunderstood. I said Swiss Dental Center on Higuera Street in San Luis Obispo.
Plus, I don't even have a passport.
Swiss Dental Center is right here. Dr. Carol Phillips is not only the only full-time dental implant specialist in the area, she's the one that teaches other dentists.
Plus, I have to get vaccinations to travel out of the country.
You don't have to go anywhere but right here. Swiss Dental Center even fabricates on site, so everything is perfect. just for you. Affordable, perfect fit, and convenient. That's Swiss Dental Center.
Nah, I think I'll just stay here and get the work done. Know any place good?
Swiss Dental Center on Higuera in San Luis Obispo?
Cool, thanks.
After that, you might want to have your hearing checked, too.
Hearing? I thought that was in Finland.
For more information, go online at SwissDentalCenter.com.
Like the ones I used to know. Around those treetops, the sun went shining the sun to you. Sleigh bells in the snow, the snow. And then I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Drifters, White Christmas right there, made probably most famous by Home Alone. Here we go. Talk is cheap. Friends and neighbors, number on 1340 KYNS, San Luis Obispo, your news station. Phone numbers are 786-2578. That's 786-2578 or 1-866-937-1340. 1-866-937-1340. If you'd like to buzzer it in, you certainly may. I want to tell you right now about Spencer's Fresh Markets because they have all the stuff for Christmas dinner. Man. And here they have a $6.99 a pound Spencer's hand rubbed a bone in standing rib roast. And this is exact. I was watching the Food Network earlier today. You're going to say, Bill, that's what you watch? Well, yeah. You know what I mean? When you're overweight, that's the fun thing to watch. So anyway, so I was watching them hand rub a roast and everything like Spencer's does. And that's exactly what they, and the whole thing was the same. But this is Spencer's will do it for you right here on the Central Coast. Or you can just buy it plain and you can mess with it yourself. However you want to do it right there. And then besides that, they have Harris Ranch Top Sirloin Rotisserie Roast for just $4.99 a pound. They have Spiral Sliced Ham Gusto Honey Glazed for $2.39 a pound. Man, they got just everything in the whole wide world you need for chowing. Murray's Fresh Free Range Natural Turkeys, $2.19 a pound. Prairie Fresh Natural Pork Boneless Pork Loinage for $2.79 a pound. And they had the Bobby Flay fix one of those things. That boneless lamb broth, $3.99 a pound. So they just have everything in the world. Here we're back to having our, guess what? It's back in the news today. Prairie Fresh Natural Pork Butt Shoulder Roast for $1.79 a pound. So you can do your porky thing. Anyway, they have boneless ribeye steaks or roast for $7.99 a pound. They got all this great stuff. Tail on cooked shrimp for $7.99 a pound. And Maine lobster tails, $5.99 a pound. Not each, a pound. That's good. Because usually the lobster itself weighs a pound, so if you've got the tail, you get a couple, three tails, I would bet for $5.99. Okay, I think it's going on. Yams, they got carrots, they got the onions, they got green onions, they got Popeye spinach. They've got fresh green beans. They've got local green celery. They've got seedless black grapes. And they got large veggie trays. Plus, they have deli trays. Plus, they have meat trays. Plus, they have all that. Fresh tamales for just 99 cents each in the deli department. And rotisserie chickens, just $4.99 each. Also, they have Boar's Head sweet sliced ham for $5.99 a pound. Man, have they got some good stuff. And something just caught my attention. Oh, this is interesting. Well, I'll tell you this after I tell you this about Spencer's. Okay, so that's Spencer's Fresh Markets with all the stuff that you need. Close Christmas Day, open Christmas Eve, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. So you make sure you get all the stuff that you need so you don't screw up. And then and they have everything. They got the biscuits and they got everything in the whole wide world. And we got tomorrow we'll have a three-day-only sale, and I'll tell you more about that tomorrow. I would go to Spencer's. I will be going to Spencer's to help prepare for our Christmas dinner. And I suggest you do the same in five locations on the Central Coast, in Santa Maria, the original, and the Rio Grande, Atascadero, Morro Bay, and San Luis Obispo. All right, what was I going to tell you about? I was going to tell you something. Let me go backwards and look at the back and see what I was going to tell you about. Something was on my mind. Oh, here's what it is. Here's what's interesting. Popeye spinach. So, and here's what I always found fascinating, really, to tell you the truth. And this is the way they always did it back in the old days. So Popeye spinach, I noticed when we used to work in the markets, it would come in a big, huge box that said Popeye spinach. But they just take the spinach and they put it, you know, in bunches, you know, as fresh as it was fresh spinach. It wasn't even packaged. And so I thought to myself, well, why even bother calling yourself Popeye spinach if nobody ever knows that that's what you are because they never see the box. See what I'm saying? But now that they're packaging spinach, they can put a name on it. You know, that makes sense, I guess. For a long time, it didn't make sense. It made no sense at all. And actually, much of the produce that was in the markets was exactly the same way. There was a name on the crate that would come in, or whatever, box crate, whatever. But that's the only way. The grocer themselves, the guy that was doing the produce, he knew who did it, but nobody else did. It was one of those strange tales I thought I'd tell you about that, you know, doesn't make sense at the time, but it makes less sense now that I've gotten older. And I have. No question about it. All right. Other things are going on today. Cold, wet, nasty. Perhaps today could rain a little bit. Tomorrow's supposed to be really nice. 68 degrees, sunshine in five cities and San Luis Obispo. You know, I don't want to speak too soon. You know, I contacted Dave Hubdy. And I said, you know, this calling us the beach flips us out because we're not the beach. So he said, but Bill, I have to do the weather for Santa Barbara also. So, you know, that creates a confusion. I said, oh, that's a good point. Sorry, but last night I noticed that he called it San Luis Obispo in the Five Cities area. And the coast was along the coast. Well, we were the coast. It was the beach, the coast. And so we were the coast. So, I don't know. Maybe something new is happening. I don't know. We'll see. The more things change, the more they change. Chinatown Project is going up slowly in phases, and I can just do it all at once, you know. Long-sought Chinatown Project in downtown SLO is moving forward after more than 2 years of delays, but it'll likely be another decade before the entire project is complete. A decade? I may not even have a decade. What are you talking about? Okay, well, that's right. All right, the City Council approved a new plan last Tuesday that allows Copeland Projects and Property Builder to build the hotel, retail, and residential complex in two phases, starting with the commercial and residential phase on Monterey Street and later the 78-room hotel on Palm Street. So it's on its way, though. Everything right there. That's what's going on. Okay. Now, everybody's going to lose their shirt on this budget cut things, local effects of the fiscal crisis we're having, and this is in, like, sort of kind of maybe like it's like holy dump truck. LaCMR Unified School District, largest cut to transportation funding, estimated $500,000. You think you can operate buses if you lose $500,000? Not very likely. Paso School is in a rare situation for district and county insolvency. Paso may have to be taken over by the state. There's no dough. Nobody has dough. Cuesta College, $605,000 in losses in state funds, plus $100,000 in expected revenues from a late fee increase. That's just out of. That's insane. It's just insane. I don't. It's insane. And you got Europe's going under, and I don't know what's going on, Joseph. Now, the 1 in 5 women in U.S. Survey report of sexual assault report by CDC group is calling striking and surprising and revealing extent of sexual violence, and this is of any kind. And it's pretty pathetically sad. Would you not say? I would. That's 20%. I don't know what we're doing. I don't know what's going on. And the kids, though, wait, we have a story on the kids. The kids are, they're what are they doing? They're smoking dope more, but they're drinking less, and that's which is good news, I guess, and doing something else less. What are the things you can do? Well, it's in here somewhere. I'll find out. Anyway, but they, they're doing better, I guess. Here it is. Teens smoke, drink less, but pot use is reported up. Okay, smoke and drink. More people are involved in pot. For the first time, researchers asked 12th grade students about synthetic marijuana, which contains cannabinoids and produces a high similar to pot, but is thought to be more dangerous because it can be contaminated with unknown substances. The finding, 11% of all high school seniors had tried the substance, and that surprised researchers. Hey, researchers, what are they some researchers surprised about? I don't understand. You know, that's what they do. They're researchers. It's not like they only do it once every 10 years or something, so they go, oh, that's a surprise. I don't understand. And anything that you find out about young people today, I don't care what the statistics are that you find out about young people doing anything, I would not be surprised, no matter what you tell me anymore. Nothing. Zero. I don't care how young they are, how old they are. It doesn't matter. It's a different kind of world. What is this called? It's called vocal frying. Okay, so this was a fascinating story they had on TV today. Now, I've Chris Berman, who does the sports, you know, he has this thing where his voice kind of does two different things. He's got the one kind of voice, and then he's got the gravelly thing that happens. Just due to age and or drugs or whatever it may be, I've had the same thing. And you can notice that sometimes I have kind of a little gravelly voice. And I have no explanation for that at all. It's just this happened to me. But what they were showing is the speech patterns in young women are, they affect this sort of gravelly sound in their voice. And it's not, how do I say it? They don't do it sort of conscientiously, but they do it as part of a peer acceptance thing. And so they were talking about this new voice pattern that young girls have where they kind of, you know, lower their voice and do that. And men, they say, you know, the men just sound strange no matter what. But women, they say this is kind of a new thing. Plus the fact that, you know, you listen to younger people. I mean, their voice, how they say things, this goes back before, beyond the Valley Girl thing. You know, speech patterns have changed a lot. And then they had the thing the other day in the paper. I think we talked about this, was the fact that they're probably going to kick out cursive. They don't have time for that anymore. They just say they don't have time. They, you know, typewriters don't type in cursive unless you make them. And so they're going to, keyboards. Typewriters, good deal. Keyboards. So the question is, you know, do we still need to have cursive writing, you know? I know it's special if somebody can really do it well, but let's be honest. You know, a lot of people can't print or write either one, so what difference does it make? The people have beautiful handwriting, they just happen to have it. They'll be in demand someday. Mm-hmm. I'm almost sure of it. All right. Other things are going on in our world. Here I'm looking up at the headlines on CNN, and the feds, sheriff unlawfully detained, arrested Latinos. This is Mayor Joe Arpaio in Maricopa County, and they said he engaged in a systematic discrimination against Latinos, the Justice Department says. All of a sudden, Mr. Arpaio's getting mud on his face, and then more mud on top of the mud, and then more mud on top of that, because it was indicated last week that in his office they've rarely investigated claims of sexual assault by Latinos, female Latinos. And so there was kind of like there was a pattern of just saying, well, you know, if you don't do anything, they won't say anything. So he's kind of putting people in pink jumpsuits. I don't know. I think we're learning more and more, you know, as life goes on. Every dog has his day, it seems. And people too. Okay. Report ties. Here's, I'm going to do a headline or two for you. Report ties Victoria's Secret with child labor. They don't even know what they're making. Hey, eh?
What do you do with this? I don't know.
National Institute of Health to limit research using chimps, which after the attacks we've seen here in the last couple of years is probably a good idea. Mortgage rates hit records lows. Let's find out what we got on that just to see. Where they're saying we're at as far as mortgage rates. Okay, the average rate on 30-year fixed mortgage fell to 3.94%, matching the all-time low hit in early October, according to Freddie Mac's weekly mortgage rate survey. Meanwhile, 15-year fixed rate loans hit a new record of 3.21%, surpassing the record set on October 6th. 5-year adjustable rate mortgages also plummeted to new depths, hitting 2.86% for the week. Now, remember, this is those things that you go for 5 years, and then all of a sudden you're screwed. So just know that you can get in again. You can still, but nobody's gonna give you one of those anyway. So don't. There's no sense in pretending. You know what bank's gonna give somebody one of these 5-year adjustables anymore? I mean, you'd have to be gold, as they say. You'd have to be absolutely golden before somebody would pull that off. Okay, so there's that's what's going on. Very interesting. And in a conversation I had with somebody the other day, I was telling you about this, and as these conversations come up, I begin to realize something. You know, that more and more, I get the impression that more and more people, you know, as we've had this, and part of the mortgage crisis, I suppose, has created this aura, an atmosphere of saying, well, you know, why would I go, why am I selling my house? Why do I need to go anywhere? You know, why, you know, do I need to be upwardly mobile like back in the old days, or can I just be content with what I'm doing? And I think with the economy and everything, I think people are just sort of saying, you know what, I'm fine just sitting tight right where I am. So this, of course, adds another ripple effect to the housing market, meaning a bad one, because people aren't buying homes. You know, and then so now we have an overabundance of foreclosed homes. We have people not buying homes anyway, not trying to sell their homes. Everybody's what they used to say, they're circling the wagons. Everybody's circling the wagons these days and saying, okay. Now they say that for Christmas time, that's not necessarily the case. They said that you know, people may be spending a bit more money this year, just out of frustration, because you know everybody's been you know, strapped to the walls, and they're like, you know, whatever. And that's not a surprise here, because right here is this story here. Well, no wonder we're strapped to the wall, because wait a minute, none of us have any dough. You know, we're all broke. 1 in 2 barely scrape by in the United States. 1 in 2. 146.4 million Americans are low income or in poverty. Squeezing by a rising living costs, a record number of Americans, nearly 1 in 2, have fallen into poverty or are scraping by on earnings that classify them as low income. Latest census data depicted a middle class that's shrinking and unemployment stays high in the government's safety net phrase. The new numbers follow years of stagnating wages, for the middle class that have hurt millions of workers and families. Give me a number here. Give me a number. About 97.3 million Americans fall into low-income category, commonly defined as those earning between 100 and 199% of the poverty level, roughly $45,000 for a family of four, based on a new supplemental measure by the Census Bureau. Together with the 49.1 million who fall below the poverty line and are counted as poor, they number 446 million, or 48% of the population. Yep. I think in broadcasting, though, can I be honest with you on the central course? I think we've always been at the poverty line. That's it. We've always been right on the edge there, from low income to poverty. All right. Now, you know what's doing really well, though, because the rich people still are rich. You know, nothing, that hasn't changed yet. So here's a pretty penny for Elizabeth Taylor's jewelry. It's fetched a record set $115 million, including more than $11.8 million for a pearl necklace and now $8.8 million for a diamond ring given her by Richard Burton. So here's all this money rolling in, you know. Then they're going to auction off some other stuff she has, you know, or knickers and whatnot. Anyway, so they're going to really make some money right there. All right, so that's what happened with Elizabeth Taylor's stuff. Paris Jackson, aspiring actress, Michael Jackson's daughter. My dad was in the movie Moonwalker, and I knew he could sing really well, but I didn't know he could act, Paris Jackson told talk show host Ellen DeGeneres, according to a transcript of the episode aired today. I saw that, and I said, wow, I want to be just like him. The film featuring, oh, is she going to be in a film? There'll be an actress. The film featuring Jackson's signature dance move and other video was released in 1988. Oh, I got you. Paris said her father encouraged her and did improvisational sessions to her to help develop her skills. The 13-year-old has been cast alongside Larry King in a film based on a new children's book, London's Bridge and the Three Keys, which is in early stages of development. Paris also told the talk show host about the lengths that her famous father took to protect her identity. She said no one recognized her when she began attending school after her father's death in June 2009. I was like, yes, I have a chance to be normal, she said. Yeah. Unlike your father. Right? I don't know if he ever had a chance. I can't tell. There's no way to know. We know what he knows. We can't tell. Now, they announced the Golden Globe nominees, and we will discuss those when here in about 15, 20 minutes or so, about 20 minutes, when we talk to Jim D. And some of the obvious are obvious, and some others are there. And then the woman who got up and spoke of Martin Scorsese's announcement pronounced his last name in a way that no one in the entire world had ever heard before. So there's a look of a little bit of snickers and everything going on. What was that name again? Yeah. But that was fun. All right, here's other things that are going on. Here's this cat that's got more toes than good sense. It's got 26 toes. It really does. And so it's helping raise money. It's because it has funny feet. So it's raised $125,000 in about 6 weeks. Center owner Amy Roll, this is in Milwaukee, started asking for $26 donations or $1 per toe on October 31st. She wanted to raise money for a new building after finding out her rent would double. Roll had raised $80,000 by Friday when Daniel's story was reported. The center raised an additional $45,000 by Wednesday, surpassing its $120,000 goal. The biggest number of contributions came from $26 donations because the cat has 26 toes. I know you're saying, Bill, what is that? I don't know. The cat's got just toes all over the place. Okay, anything else going on? Kirstie Alley's house was vandalized. And here's the other thing, too. I don't know. Living next door to, living on the street over, not next door, on the street over from one of the children in the book Cheaper by the Dozen. Okay, so you following me with that? One of the children in the book Cheaper by the Dozen was my friend's father. Peter Gilbert. And so having lived in that proximity and been friends with Peter and been in their house a lot and all that, it's not for me to say how many kids people should have. And Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, I mean, they can afford theirs, no question about it. They're thinking of having more of their own. I don't know if that's because they want more kids or because Brad just wants to spend more time with Angelina Jolie. I'm not sure. Okay, other things that are going on. Other things are happening. Let's see if I got another headline that's kind of wild and crazy. Okay. It says Ron Paul could shake up the GOP race. Maybe. They say in Iowa he's a popular guy. So, other things going on. Oh, here's a headline. Amanda Knox acquittal explained. And what the judge basically said was they just never proved her guilty. It's kind of like, I got to tell you the truth, it's like Casey Anthony. You know, it doesn't matter what you believe or don't believe. You know, it's up to the prosecution to prove that you're guilty or not guilty. Or, you know, at least try to bring a guilty verdict. And if they fail to come up with the right stuff to say here's why we think that these circumstances are enough to convict, then that's the way it is. And the judge in the case thought they did not. So Facebook now has a new thing. I haven't even gone on it. I don't really spend much time with Facebook. If I need to send somebody a message or something, I don't have their email address. But I guess they got a new thing. You put up new pictures. You know, you can show yourself if you want to from the time you were born. You were just a wee tot. You can have a whole timeline of your life. And you can stop by saying, imagine that somebody wants to see that. Who it is, but you know, somebody might. So there you go. All right, other people are going there. The writers, you know, the writers, how they have writers on spending bills. Those dang writers, they're slowing things up right there. Cuba travel, abortion clauses, impede deal on measure to keep government running. Now, you and I think, as citizens of the United States of America, I think we pretty much agree that, you know, if you have a certain kind of a bill that has to do with a budgetary thing or whatever, finances, whatever it may be, that's what the bill should be about. If you want to have a free-for-all bill that has all the conglomerate crap in it and then have people decide on that, then fine, call it that. And let it be. But when you take a certain measure and you say, okay, we're going to attach this other stuff to it, these writers, I cannot imagine other people besides myself are not just incensed by it. It's just this absolute crap. I don't know what to say. I don't know how we're going to fix it. How are we going to fix it? Okay. So here they have a nasty story. That I'm not going to tell you a story. Well, I'll tell you a story. Woman, something went wrong with the elevator. She was stepping into the elevator in her office building, and all of a sudden it whooshed up, and she got caught between the elevator and the wall there. And so, you know, that didn't do any good. Of course, she's dead. It took 2 hours to get the other people out, so they were not there. The whole thing was really bad. Now, here we talked about the Selenium tribe here on the Central Coast. More people speak Navajo at home than any other Native American language, a promising 169,000 people at a time when some tribes have lost their native tongue or are struggling to retain the words of their ancestors. Navajo topped the list of the 20 most frequently spoken native languages, followed by Yupik and Dakota, each with 19,000, according to U.S. Census estimates. Yupik is an Eskimo language spoken in Alaska, while Dakota is a Sioux language spoken mainly, as you might imagine, in the Dakotas. What's the other one called? Yupik? Yupik. Okay, that's the Alaskan speak, Yupik. That's where you have 75 words for snow and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Okay, Rod Blagojevich's attorneys have asked to have him placed in a drug abuse program when he starts his 14-year prison sentence for corruption. Judge James Zagel agreed Tuesday to recommend Blagojevich for the program. Neither Zagel nor Blagojevich's attorney detailed why he would be eligible. I'm wondering, I wonder if that knocks time off of his sentence, I would think. That's probably what we're doing. Remember I told you they can put a smart meter on my house? I went out and talked to it. It was quite a conversation. It seemed very smart to me. Yeah, smarter than I was. PG&E has shut off power to three county residents who removed their smart meters from their homes. They give the people's names. It's hard for me to believe that PG&E, given all the public relations nightmares it's been involved in lately, is willing to add another one, said Supervisor Ellen Pieri, leading a contingent of board members at Tuesday's meeting who seemed genuinely befuddled by the utility's actions. This is in Santa Cruz, by the way. A PG&E representative presented at the meeting for a separate smart meter-related issue said the tampering with a PG&E meter by anyone who is not a PG&E-trained professional creates a real urgent public safety issue. And PG&E governmental relations manager said, I don't know if that's really true. That's not a big deal. Basically, you know, you're kind of stuck. You know, you have a meter, you use electricity, you gotta feed the meter. And we'll see. I mean, believe me, I will let you know when I get my first bill off of that smart meter, how I feel about it, and see if it makes any more sense, less sense, or any other kind of sense than anything else I've had so far. Am I worried about radiation from it? Absolutely not. I'm sitting here in a control room that has electromagnetic radiation surrounding me every day of my life. And here I've done radio for many, many years. And have you noticed anything different? I'm not a mutant yet. I mean, a little bit, you know, my stomach, but you don't count that. You know, most of me looks okay, sort of. So I'm not worried about all that radiation. It's the cause, however. Sometimes when things go wrong in a control room, it's actually because there is too much. There's just too much stuff. There's too much stuff. And signals start to interfere with each other and things. They start to play games. And there's little, the old-fashioned term was called ponics. These were like the ghosts in the machine were called ponics. And, you know, sometimes they would happen to you and there's nothing you could do because it was just one machine was saying to another machine, let's get together and screw something up. Oh, okay. One of those. All right, everything's going on. Things that are going on. Herein exposes conflict at NRC. The chairman of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission on Wednesday denied sweeping allegations by fellow commissioners that he bullied and abused agency staffers and withheld information. During a dramatic and often tense exchange, the NRC's four commissioners, two Democrats and two Republicans, told the House committee that they had doubts about the leadership of Chairman Gregory Jasko and believe he fostered a hostile and often abusive management style. Yeah, tough dude. In his testimony, Jasko said NRC was in the midst of an exceptionally challenging year as the agency responded to the Japanese tsunami and meltdown of the Fukushima nuclear plant. He said commissioners have held dozens of public meetings, reviewed thousands of enforcement actions, license applications, and other policy matters. This is the first time I've heard many of these accusations, he said. because I don't open my door. I don't step outside and force myself to hear them. I just sit in my ivory tower, like many, and say, I'm doing a really great job. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Doing a really great job. Jim D., his own self, has arrived in the studio, and we will be talking to James after we have the news from CBS. We will play another Motown Christmas song. All right, you're with Bill Benninger. This is Talk is Cheap on 1340 KYNS, San Luis Obispo.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Voters in the Senate now are taking a look at the defense funding bill that was in the House. We're live now to CBS's Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. Bob?
The bill, now getting final passage, lays out a $662 billion budget for the military and establishes Pentagon policies, some of them controversial. One directs suspected al-Qaeda terrorists arrested in the U.S. be immediately turned over to the military, even if they're American citizens, and it seems to open the door for indefinite detention without trial. President Obama initially threatened a veto, but the bill was modified to give him the final say on where suspected terrorists end up, and that whole issue could end up back in the courts. Live on Capitol Hill, Bob Fuss, CBS News.
The White House says the administration does not favor a Medicare rescue plan proposed by Republican Paul Ryan and Democrat Ron Wyden. Ryan says too many in Washington are afraid to make the tough decisions.
These entitlement programs are promising trillions of dollars of empty promises to people, and we need to fix that.
Wyden says the time to fix it's overdue.
In effect, you have these two approaches standing there side by side, holding each other accountable.
The bipartisan proposal would retain the fee-for-service program and allow private insurers to compete for more of Medicare's beneficiaries. People who find a better deal with private insurance could leave Medicare and shrink that cost to taxpayers. The federal government is threatening to sue Maricopa County, Arizona, unless Sheriff Joe Arpaio takes steps to make sure discrimination against Latinos stops. That from an assistant attorney general, Thomas Perez.
People opposed to the department's policies were frequently arrested and jailed for no reason, or forced to defend against specious civil complaints or other baseless charges.
No comment yet from Sheriff Arpaio. CBS News has learned that titanium from a jaw brace has convincingly identified a murder victim found on a beach in Long Island, New York. CBS's Aaron Moriarty.
While police do believe they have found the missing 23-year-old who really was the catalyst in this whole Long Island serial killer investigation, they don't seem to be, at least not publicly, any closer to identifying and arresting an actual suspect.
10 bodies have been found along that stretch of beach. In Houston, the Chronicle headline tells of a huge backlog of investigative rape kits that sit untested, unprocessed, a backlog of 6,000 to 7,000 cases stuck in laboratory limbo.
How can we tell people that we are, in fact, getting them justice and testing, and we're not? That is a victimization.
Houston Councilwoman Jolanda Jones, Wall Street, the Dow up 38 points, NASDAQ's down a fraction. How do you get busted for drunk driving at a McDonald's drive-thru? You bump hard into the car in front of you, and when the police get there, they realize you just might have had a few. Derek Wiley's blood alcohol level, they said, was 0.21 in Rock Hill, South Carolina. This is CBS News.
Now you can dial a diamond and save half by calling Empire Diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Over 70 years in the Empire State Building, they'll sell diamonds wholesale without a middleman's markup. That's right, GIA-graded diamonds at half the price of famous high-end jewelers. Qualified buyers may have diamonds into their home or office for a free 10-day no-obligation inspection and get a 60-day money-back guarantee. So save half on your diamonds. Visit at dialadiamond.com or call 1-800-SAVE-HALF. That's 1-800-SAVE-HALF.
To Alex, what can I say to the greatest four-year-old in the universe? I'm already so proud of you, and you can't even tie your shoes yet. You're the best gift I've ever gotten. So here's the best gift I could give in return. Love, Dad.
When it comes to your loved ones, give the most selfless gift of all, a secure financial future. New York Life Insurance Company has been protecting families for over 165 years and has the highest ratings currently awarded to any life insurer. Contact your New York Life agent or visit newyorklife.com.
a measurable health benefit within the gay community since laws that allow marriage have spread to more states.
Columbia University researchers report an unexpected effect of same-sex marriage laws: better health and lower health care costs for gay and bisexual men. They find that in the year following enactment of the law in Massachusetts, health care visits fell 13% and costs 14%. Billing records from various clinics showed sharp reductions in stress-related conditions, including high blood pressure and depression. This study in the American Journal of Public Health.
CBS's Barry Bagnato is in Washington. How low can a thief really go? In Monk's Corner, South Carolina, police are trying to find whoever stole Toby, an American bull terrier. Toby is a special needs assistance dog for an autistic child who the family says is devastated that someone took her dog. It was a woman who stole the dog. Police have a description. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
It's a scientific fact. Men can only hear certain frequencies during football season. So the jewelry store at Macy's is sending subliminal messages over these radio wavelengths.
It's fourth and goal, and they need a touchdown. So, Bill Curry of Boston, Massachusetts, you better go for it, because your wife wants that sapphire and diamond ring for Christmas, and you need to score more than a field goal. Also, could you quit leaving your wet towel on the floor? It's seriously annoying!
She's trying to tell you something. This holiday, get her what she really wants from the jewelry store at Macy's.
Hey everybody, Jay Farner here, and I'd like to introduce the Yorgage from Quicken Loans. Our Yorgage is better than a traditional mortgage because it conforms to your goals. It's a fixed-rate home loan that allows you to custom design a term that works best for you, anywhere from 8 to 30 years. The rate today in an 8-year fixed Yorgage is an amazing 2.875%, APR 3.5%. Call today at 866-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
Call us for cost information. Other restrictions may apply. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
No one seems
kids. Remember, lots of adults and kids, too, paid admission to enjoy the show. We must insist on absolute fight.
Jim D in the studio with Bill Benica, and this is Talk is Cheap, your friends and neighbors. Number 1340 KYNS. Hi, Jimmy.
Bill.
We did this day early because Jim has lots of things going on and Christmassy stuff and all that, so I thought, well, fine, come in early. We'll do it. I don't care.
Oh, I really appreciate it.
We don't care what day we do this stuff. We're just happy to do it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Always nice to see Jim. Jim, what a nice man Jim D is. It's just always a pleasure to see him. I just want you to know that. In case you say to yourself, is this guy as nice as he sounds? He is.
Oh,
it's no one of those. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm a fraud, but this guy is the real deal.
Oh, Bill.
All right, here we go. So you're doing something that you hinted at me that you're doing something. Have you ever done it before?
Well, the very interesting thing that's happening right now, and I can say this for the entire movie business, is the period between Thanksgiving and Christmas is ordinarily, routinely, a very slow period. And it's kind of obvious. People are getting ready for the holidays. They're out buying stuff. To sit in front of a movie during this 2-3 week period is just like, we'll go to the movies afterwards. After Christmas, we have some money. Maybe we want to get away from the family. And so it's usually the week after Christmas is bonanza week, at least for me. Well, I ended up with the new George Clooney movie, Descendants. I actually saw it at Toronto last September. I think we talked about this before. The distributors were there. I approached them. I have a really good relationship. I said, look, I need this movie. I want it. And I got it. And one of the rarest things ever is the fact that The Palm is showing The Descendants. It's directed by Alexander Payne, who did Election. He did Sideways. He's a really great director. And I'm not sure why, but maybe it's the fact that the Christmas season is so loaded with releases. I mean, the next couple of weeks, there's something like 10 or 15 movies getting released. And I'm so grateful I have The Descendants. And what I'm finally getting to, long story not short, we sold out most of the shows of Descendants last weekend, which is unheard of to begin with.
Cool.
So I said, why don't I try to get a second print of this? You know how when there's a big release that comes out of the multiplexes, they have it on a couple of screens, and you know, to really work it. The fact that we turned people away last weekend, I got a second print, and so we have it on two screens. So if you came to see The Descendants last weekend, got turned away, we have a whole lot more show times for you. Hopefully you can get in to see it. We got a nice write-up in New Times today on the split screen.
Oh,
and,
cool.
And they both Glenn and Steve, really liked the film a lot. To me, it's hard not to like this film.
Well, and George Clooney right here was nominated for the Golden Globes Award, amongst other things. And so that happened first thing this morning.
Oh, I didn't even see those. Usually I check those.
Co-star, I don't know how to say her name for sure, Shailene Woodley?
Yeah, she's one of the two daughters.
Okay. She's nominated for Best Supporting Actress. Alexander Payne is up for Best Director and Best Screenplay. So, and so Clooney is he, George Clooney will likely spend a lot of time let's see. Oh, he got the number of nominations he and his two movies got Thursday from the Golden Globes. So he's nominated for the Best Movie. Doesn't say, and Best Actor in Drama for Descendants. And for the Best Director and Best Screenplay for Ides of March.
Yeah, he's a busy guy.
The Cloonster's out there.
Yeah, he's really great in this film. And, you know, it's interesting about this film that they mentioned in New Times is you can hear the plot elements. I mean, if you watch the trailer, you sort of hear kind of what this movie is about. But going to see it, it's really a wonderful experience. The way everything unfolds, the acting is great. The best way to describe it, I think this is paraphrasing a review, and the fact that it earns its laughs, because there are some really funny parts in this film, and it earns its tears. And to me, if any film will make you cry or cause you to cry, to me that's a hit, because that means you're emotionally involved with the film. I think it would be hard, you'd have to check your pulse not to be emotionally moved by The Descendants. It's a really fine film.
To me, So do I have to embarrass myself? Can I sit in the back? I'm going to be weeping and whatnot?
Bill, it's okay to cry.
All right, fine. We're both from New Jersey. You know better than that.
Well, I should tell you this, too. When I was at Toronto, and maybe I've mentioned this to you. I'm part of the press and industry screenings. And they're sort of separate from the main film festival. And the press and industry folks are usually a tough crowd. And I'll tell you, everyone was sort of sniveling and
really,
you know, and people were remarking, you come out of this movie and we're all kind of, you know, it was a wonderful movie, but everyone's sort of looking at each other. And again, I think there was some embarrassment that people were crying, which is unfortunate.
That's okay. Yeah. If it moves you, it moves you. That's the way it is.
This one will move you.
That's
definitely
cool. That's absolutely cool. Let me tell you what else happened here as far as nominees. Let me see where I got here. Other best drama nominees included The Help, which is nominated for 5 Globes, including the Best Drama Actress nod for Viola Davis. Co-star Octavia Spencer and Jessica Chastain are competing against each other for Best Supporting Actress. Mary J. Blige is The Living Proof, nominated for Best Original Song. Best Drama contender Moneyball is also nominated for Best Screenplay, while Brad Pitt, who portrayed baseball general manager Billy Bean, is up for Best Actor in a Drama Film. Jonah Hill, who played Bean's statistical wizard, is nominated for Best Supporting Actor. Steven Spielberg's War Horse, competing for the Best Drama, and John Williams' music for the film is nominated for the Best Original Score. And as soon as John Williams puts pen to paper and hand to piano, then he's going to win it. That's all there is to it. The movie's not up for any acting honors, however. That's War Horse. Hugo rounds out nominations for the Best Movie Drama category. Martin Scorsese is also nominated for Best Director for the 3D family film, while Howard Shore is up for Best Original Score. So that's pretty interesting. And the Best Drama Film Actor category also includes Leonardo DiCaprio for his portrayal of the former FBI director in J. Edgar, and Michael Fassbender for Shame.
Oh, good. Now, I didn't check the... You know, it's funny, when the Oscar nominations come out, it's usually like 5:30 in the morning, you know, when they announce them, and like an idiot, I wake up and check them out and try to jot them.
You should.
Yeah, even though I could just check them on my computer even when I wake up at 7, but still, I always... Listen, but I knew the Golden Globes were coming out. I didn't check them. But, you know, Michael Fassbender in Shame is pretty amazing. But there is a film that we're going to be showing in mid-January, NC-17 all the way. It's a very provocative film. We've talked about it, I think,
before.
Oh,
yeah, you have. You said that.
But I think Fox Searchlight, you know, the subsidiary of Fox that gave me The Descendants, thank you, picked up that film. It's not really a typical film for, well, any distributor picking up an NC-17 is sort of, you know, verboten, so to speak. But they thought he would get a nomination for Best Actor, and he did, at least with the Golden Globe. And he is great in this, but, you know, we're going to have to put that NC-17 out there because it is extremely provocative.
Now, is it provocative just in language? Is it provocative in, is it nudity and that kind of stuff?
Nudity, sex, full frontal male and female nudity, and it's a powerful film in the fact that it's not really erotic. It's this guy's problem is he's sort of addicted to sex.
So here's an interesting thing, and I've always said this, and I mean this sincerely, and we've talked about it all the time. When people, you know, they throw out a token nude scene, they throw out a token four-letter word to get a different reading, whatever the case may be, and it's gratuitous and absolutely no use to the movie whatsoever, really. I mean, it has no part in the movie. I have no use for it. I mean, I just resent it. It's like so stupid. Why bother doing that? I'll tell you and Titanic had 2 scenes that were gratuitous. They could have, although it was done very well where he's drawing her and she's nude and all that, and she wasn't naked a lot in front of you and all that, and she never is when she's in those things, but that was kind of okay, and the thing in the car was okay where they steamed up the car was okay, you know. And the gratuitous part of it mostly was the language when they were on the ship and the guy was using the F word, you know, a couple times. I thought that was kind of dumb. But if you had to ask me again, if the whole thing had to be done over, would it be necessary to have him draw her in the nude? I would say no, she's just willing to do it, and directors like to have her do it, I think, you know, kind of a thing. And I think she said no, she's not going to do them anymore. She's fed up with it all.
Well, it's, you know, Titanic is getting re-released here in the next couple of months in 3D, so we can check out that scene again.
There you go, checking. Well, but no, see, here's the interesting thing. So there was a point to it. They were trying to convey his artistic ability and how much she, you know, fell in love with the fact that he was this artistic and could capture her in such a way with this big diamond, you know, and everything, big gem. I see that, and I think, but to me, the, you know, when you go and you have a steamy car scene, you know, where it's just steamy, you know, and people are kissing and whatnot, That's sufficient to portray what it is you're trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
But this movie that you're talking about, once again, is, and I sound like some kind of a prude, which I'm not at all, of course, as you well know, but if the movie can convey what it's trying to convey by using nudity, by using language, whatever, I have no problem with it. I think that's fine.
Well, you know, Shame was, when I came out of it, the first film I thought of, even though it's somewhat different, I thought of Last Tango in Paris. I mean, then there are people who thoroughly hate this movie, and then there's people who think it's a piece of art or one of Marlon Brando's greatest roles. I think it's an incredible film myself. But that gets into areas that are extremely, well, you never see him on screen. Here's a guy who lost his wife. I don't know if you've ever seen Last Tango in Paris. Yeah. But it's powerful, and I don't think it's gratuitous at all. And you're getting into areas of human sexuality and our reaction to it in that film. Like Shame. Shame gets into the idea that we're so surrounded by sex and pornography and so on and so forth, and intimacy. Maybe what you're talking about in Titanic. I mean, you know, there's romance going on. There's something more than just sex. This guy, unfortunately, in Shame, is addicted to sex, and he doesn't have any way. He's like cut off from people as far as getting intimate or close to people, and that's sort of a interesting portrait of people today, I think.
Yeah, that's interesting. That was something I was going to tell you. Well, I'll tell you where a movie, when I came back from overseas and I saw, I tell you, one of the first movies I saw, and you're going to say, boy, that's a good idea, Bill. You come back from Vietnam and that's the first movie you see. Actually, the first two movies were on the airplane. They were both Steve McQueen movies, Bullet and Thomas Crown Affair.
Nice.
Is what they showed us on the plane, which was kind of cool. And they had done new things with cinematography in that year, you know, that they had not done before. And mm-hmm. it was kind of fascinating just to see that. But when I got back to the States, the first thing I think I saw was The Wild Bunch.
Ooh. And interestingly, then you may have seen the edited version, or not, you know, there was a version of The Wild Bunch that came out much later,
right,
where Sam Peckinpah, you know, put in everything, where it was really violent. Of course, compared to today,
Wild Bunch
is almost nothing, but at the time, it was very, very violent.
But you know what? Here's what was weird was, part of me said, this is good. Show people what violence is. Mm-hmm. Don't have somebody get shot and fall over and have some great line to say and close their eyes and smile, you know. That's not how life is. You know, so there's a part of me that said, go get them. You know, this, if you're going to show violence, then show it.
That's true.
So people understand it. Well, now, of course, we've taken it to the most bizarre degree you could take violence. So I don't know if it's real anymore. It's beyond what is even reasonable.
Well, you know, the film that I thought really did that well, it was out a few years back, and by David Cronenberg, called A History of Violence with Viggo Mortensen. And this is about a guy who has this, he has this violent past that you don't know about, and you kind of slowly realize this guy was a criminal in his past years, even though he now has a whole totally different life. But I think this film, what it says, if you are violent or you have a violent past, it's going to come back and revisit you. It's almost like a Western,
right?
But that film, I mean, there's a scene with Viggo Mortensen's where he, you know, dispatches these two really bad guys. But what the film does is it sticks your face right in what he's doing. I mean, killing these two guys is not a pretty picture. And I thought, okay, just like you said, if you're going to see violence, you know, show it. And don't necessarily give this heroic slant, because it's pretty ugly. And I thought that film did it very well.
You know, Tom Cruise's Collateral was that way, I'd say. I think that also said, okay, here's a basically a psychotic person. You know, they're a psychopath. They have no conscience. And, you know, and now he's dragged somebody else along with it. You know, Jamie Foxx, he's dragged him in with it, mm-hmm. and said, okay, here's this thing. So, you know, it's interesting how it can be. And so the PG thing I would say to people, if Jimmy says it shouldn't scare you away, don't let it scare you away.
Well,
we've all been naked. We know what we look like.
Well, we are going to put up a sign when we show Shame, and just to make sure that people kind of know what they're in store for.
I don't know. How much of this list do you want to do? You want to do a few little bit more of this? Because I'll tell you, one of the people that got nominated again, and that is Meryl Streep.
For The Iron Lady, right?
For The Iron Lady. And so this is her 25th time.
She plays Margaret Trudeau.
Yeah,
and
that
should be kind of interesting. But
Glenn Close, once again, for Albert Nobbs. Was nominated for Best Actress along with Davis Streep in Close. The Best Drama Actress competition includes Tilda Swinton for We Need to Talk About Kevin.
Wow.
And Rooney Mara for The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I'm confused about something, and I'm glad I just saw this, because is there two versions of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo?
Yes.
Okay, so there's a version you had.
Well, there's.
But now there's some new thing that's come out.
Well, there's three books. There's The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, The Girl Who Played with Fire, and The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest.
Okay, I understand that.
All three of them have been made in Sweden, and they were huge hits. The books were huge hits. We showed all three at the Palm last year. All three of them came out. But they're in Swedish. They're subtitled, and for some reason in the great wisdom of Hollywood, they said, oh, gee, we've got to remake this because it's so popular. David Fincher is the director. His last film was Social Network. He did Seven. He did, I can't think of some of the other titles. He's a pretty well-respected director. And they said they're going to remake it. Daniel Craig is in the role of the journalist Blomqvist, who has not really a relationship with the girl with the dragon tattoo, but to me, why remake it? I thought the two sequels, so to speak, were just okay, but the first film made in Sweden is a knockout. It's really good and very provocative as well. But why remake it? I don't know. We'll see.
I think today, as a guess, I think that you know, probably has. I think it has more to do with finance than it has to do with anything else. I think it's just that they say, okay, if we don't spend too much money making this, and we can recoup a bunch of money, you know, because now it's in English, maybe that's the way it is.
It looks pretty big budget to me, you know. So, and you know, it's of all the Christmas or holiday fare, you know, a lot of the family stuff is doing very well. This may be sort of an alternative or counter programming that the fact that this is a very tough film. Maybe they're thinking that people didn't go see it because they were afraid of the subtitles, or it only played in theaters like The Palm, so it didn't have this broad coverage. But the, you know, those novels have increased Swedish tourism.
Really?
The author's no longer on the planet. He passed away, and it's unfortunate because they were saying he was going to write more, maybe a fourth one. But and, you know, the undercurrent of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo is about, the original title was Men Who Hate Women. It's more about how women are treated in Sweden. But it's a really, we'll see how this new version is. I don't even know if I'm going to go see it because I like the first Swedish version so much.
What? Why ruin it by seeing this? No, I've seen movies come along like that where I thought, you know what, this was done so well, I don't really want to see this other thing. Because what could they do to it?
It looks like it's kind of, you know, pumped up. It looks a little more, you know, in your face than the Swedish version. But we'll see how it goes because, as I mentioned before, there are so many releases. You mentioned some of the Golden Globes, like War Horse and the new Mission Impossible and the new Sherlock Holmes opens tomorrow. And there's like 10, 15 films. I'm really curious how this remake of Girl with the Dragon Tattoo is going to fare amongst all this other stuff. We'll see.
All right. There's lots of stuff in here. Now, not surprising, I would think, Midnight in Paris gained Woody Allen Best Director and Best Screenplay nominations, along with Best Comedy Film Actor nomination for Owen Wilson. So, I'm not surprised either with Midnight in Paris. My Week with Marilyn, Michelle Williams, portrayed of Marilyn Monroe, for the Best Comedy Actress competition, while co-star Kenneth Branagh is nominated for Best Supporting Actor. 50-50 led Joseph Gordon-Levitt is nominated to Best Comedy Actor, and Bridesmaid, starring Kristen Willig, is up for Best Comedy Actress. Other people that are up for things are Kate Winslet, Jodie Foster, both for their roles in Carnage, and Charlize Theron for Young Adult.
Hmm.
Brenna Gleeson's The Guard performance earned a Best Comedy Actor nomination.
Carnage is the new film directed by Roman Polanski. It looks kind of interesting,
right,
we have that, I think, the end of January.
Okay, so that's coming up. So, and then to top it all off and tie it in a bow is you're going to have Ricky Gervais try round two of the Golden Globe thing, and we'll see how he does.
Wow.
I hope he does. I hope he's fine. I think you know, it's English humor. It's two different sides of the pond, you know, and unfortunately he did the English side of the pond first. And I think people just took offense at it and said, you know, but English humor is brutal. It is in its own way very brutal, and the English find it funny. They have somebody that has, you know, some kind of a faux pas in their past and that, and you bring it out, you go, bam, and punch them in the nose with it. And, you know, from having an English friend, that to them is very amusing, you know. So not so much to Americans, will be turned out. So we'll see how he does. But I think he'll do okay.
But, you know, the Golden Globe seems to pride itself on being less pompous and less stodgy than the Oscars. Right. And I think he took it to a new level. You know,
less stodgy, less dodgy. We're going to talk about what else is at the Palm Theater and what else is going on in our world when it comes to movie time after we take this break.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat. The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
San Luis Obispo's Palm Theater is your ticket to cinema for the soul. Jim D's Palm Theater shows first-run film festival favorites for those who seek movie mastery that runs deeper than the overly hyped pedestrian fare. This marvelous intimate multiplex is known as the Slow Theater, where the prices and popcorn are the best in town. Green as a bean, the Palm is also the only solar-powered theater on the Central Coast. Across from the Palm Street parking garage, the Palm on Palm. Cinema for your soul.
I'm in a state of caffeination, got all my fingers shaking, must have been my large Americano, mochaccino, macchiato. Now the family's gone to bed, and that's my favorite time to get some tips on better rates. Cause my State Farm guy answers late, and even when it's not my agent, someone's standing by so patient. Getting coverage questions answered helps me to relax. Get to a better state, State Farm.
Happy holidays. Welcome to REI. Can I help you?
Long list of people to shop for. First I need...
A Patagonia down sweater.
Perfect. And then a pair of...
Sorel Joan of Arctic women's boots.
Love it. And also a...
REI Traverse 30 pack?
Well, that takes care of me. Now onto my list.
We know what you need and have all the outdoor gifts they'll love. With expert help in-store and online, we offer 100% guaranteed satisfaction with every gift you buy. Visit your local REI or REI.com. REI. Find out.
I'm thinking about some dental implants. Give me a million-dollar smile. You know what I mean?
I know just the place. Swiss Dental Center.
No, I don't want to go to Switzerland. Figured I'd just stay here and get the work done.
You misunderstood. I said Swiss Dental Center on Higuera Street in San Luis Obispo.
Plus, I don't even have a passport.
Swiss Dental Center is right here. Dr. Carol Phillips is not only the only full-time dental implant specialist in the area, she's the one that teaches other dentists.
Plus, I have to get vaccinations to travel out of the country.
You don't have to go anywhere but right here. Swiss Dental Center even fabricates on site, so everything is perfect, just for you. Affordable, perfect fit, and convenient. That's Swiss Dental Center.
Nah, I think I'll just stay here and get the work done. Know any place good?
Swiss Dental Center on Higuera in San Luis Obispo?
Cool, thanks.
After that, you might want to have your hearing checked, too.
Hearing? I thought that was in Finland.
For more information, go online at SwissDentalCenter.com.
We are back. Bill Benke, Jim D from the Palm Theater. We don't have a name for this.
Fun.
Okay, we have fun. We're having Thursday afternoon fun. Now we're having it instead of Friday afternoon fun, because Jimmy's got some Christmas stuff to do, and you know how these things happen. Now, but we both think that next Friday we're both good to go for getting together again at 1:05, and then Karen Vealey should be in tomorrow at her regular time right after noon, and also next week the same as far as I know so far. All right, let's talk more about what else is playing at the Palm and what's going on, because you have a new movie that's coming up.
Yeah, it's called Force of Nature, the David Suzuki movie. And if there's any listeners that watch National Geographic or any of the science channels, if usually there's any science show and they want some science opinion, they go to David Suzuki. He's usually talking about the universe or climate change. He's really an interesting guy. This film revolves around a speech that he gave, but also goes into his life and how he became a scientist and interested in, you know, he's an activist. He's trying to get, you know, the knowledge and the facts out there about climate change. But he's really a fascinating guy. He's one of those guys where, you know, you listen to him talk and it just stirs your imagination of, you know, talking about the universe and science.
So is it him just sort of narrating and talking and then showing you see stuff? and pictures? Or
it focuses on the speech, but it also is sort of a documentary on his life and how he became a scientist and his upbringing and his, education and so on. It's kind of fascinating and very uplifting.
This is interesting also, I think, that and what makes this movie so relevant too right now is science is sort of in, science is leading the charge in the news these days, you know, with the Hadron Collider and everything and this God particle they're trying to find, and they just developed a camera that they could actually film the speed of light,
mm-hmm.
and they filmed it. And so there's a lot of science going on. And we have a spy plane they stole from us there. We went down the ramp, and that was technologically wonderful. And there's a lot of stuff, you know, going on that has to do with science. And I think you know that we had the age of the computer nerd, you know, and I think we're going to have an age of the scientists. I think we're going to see a little bit of that coming along here. As a guess, I just think so.
Yeah. What was interesting was last week when they found that planet that's only what 6 light years
away.
You know, light travels what 186,000 miles a second, so
it's a ways away.
But there's an Earth-like planet out there. It's kind of interesting.
And I guess it was they didn't use the Hubble for this. They used, what's the name of the other telescope? They got the other telescope. And so that's the one that they've been using because the Hubble goes way the heck out there to the edge of the universe, and they don't want to go out that far. They want to have something that's closer. So they use this other telescope. But what sometimes surprises, I think, us laymen, at least surprises me as a layman, is why that telescope's been around for 2 years. Why wouldn't you have done this before? You know, but then again, you don't know what the list of priorities are, you know. When it comes to NASA, who gets to use the telescope next and what do they get to look for, I guess, is how I see it.
One of my favorite things about the Hubble telescope is, I don't know, I read, just paraphrasing, they pointed it in a dark part of the universe and they started getting information in. And, of course, they saw about a billion more galaxies, which is, you can't even comprehend what it's like out there. Because one of my big questions, if I saw David Suzuki, my question would be, they say that the universe is expanding. My question would be, what is it expanding into? That's my question. Do you know the answer, Bill?
No.
I don't.
Good point. Very interesting.
Well, it's maybe a silly thing, but...
Because there's an argument among scientists, you know, there's a disagreement among scientists, is there an edge to the universe? Is there a definitive edge to the universe,
mm-hmm.
or the exact question you're asking, if the universe is expanding, can there ever be a definitive edge to the universe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a good question. How do we get hold of this guy? We got to find out. Let me ask you this, Jim. I need to ask you because people want to know. You have a favorite Christmas movie? God, Bill, let's talk. Do you have a favorite Christmas movie?
Oh, boy. Good question. You know, It's a Wonderful Life comes on. How can you not enjoy that?
You've got to find this really hard to believe. I'm embarrassed saying this. I have never seen all the way through from start to end It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, treat yourself.
I will. I know sometime I need to, but I've seen the beginning. I've seen part of the middle. I've seen near the end. You know, I've seen all these little junkies, but I've never just sat down and said, okay, I'm going to watch this whole movie. I know that I'm the only person in the United States that hasn't, so I should.
To me, the most interesting thing about that film, and, you know, if I really thought about it, I'm sure there's some other holiday films that I could think of. I'll think of one here in a second, but... You know, It's a Wonderful Life, when it first was released, was kind of a box office flop. It just kind of didn't work. And it wasn't always a holiday, favorite. I want to say 20, 30 years ago, it started getting rediscovered. In other words, it wasn't always that, penultimate holiday movie. And so, again, you'd think that this film was released, what, in the... 50s, late 40s, whatever it was, and it went about 20 years where people really didn't talk about it, and then it came out. It's the film about World War One, and boy, the title come to me, about how the soldiers wanted to celebrate Christmas, and they stopped fighting during Christmas Day.
I know exactly what it was.
And I could kick myself because I would love your listeners to see this film. It's just one of the most wonderful films. Here's the two sides of warring, and they're drinking and partying and having all kinds of fun. But the next day they have to resume
and fight each other.
War.
I remember this.
Yeah.
All right. And by your little, this thing that's been constantly harassing you since you've been on the air, see, what I'm going to do is, I don't know who designed, and Jim has been involved in radio himself years ago for some time, and I don't know who designed this studio. But they were nuts. So anyway, we're going to get this boom moved over here so it's out of the way because it's always in the way. And so I'm looking through this one of these people. I'm looking through this. The other day there was a little circle of wire there. I'm looking at this guy as I'm interviewing him. I can tell he thought it was like a target. Yeah. Anyway, that's my story of the studio today.
It's my Italian heritage where I'm talking with my hands.
It's a wonderful life anyway. And so it's going to be a great season. We're lucky enough to have Jim come back. We hope next Friday afternoon. If you'll join us at 105, we'll have Jim on then, and we'll discover more wonderful things that are going on in cinema. Jimmy, I thank you for being here.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, sir. Take care. Have a good weekend. Heavenly peace right there we got with the Temptations. You're Bill Benneke, Talk of Sheep, your Friends and Neighbors Network. Thanks for joining me again today. And Jim Dean, I appreciate it. All right. They have a thing here in the Ticket Magazine. What makes a holiday movie? You know, what's the formula? And they got the whole thing right here. Good twisted Dickens, a bad character goes good, a loved one's death, a misplaced character for comic value, a little dark comedy, all of those things. Like A Nightmare Before Christmas, that's as dark as it gets. And they have crime thrillers with a Christmas angle right here. Die Hard, Lethal Weapon, Batman Returns, and Reindeer Games. Those are the ones they listed today, so I've listed them for you. All right, let me remind you, if I may please, that our Talk of Sheep is brought to you in part by Swiss Dental Center and Dr. Carol Phillips, and she's a lady that does it more than anybody else in town, and trains other doctors on how to do it. So she's an implant specialist person. So if you like teeth that are really like teeth, and not a plate full of stuff there with the goop on it, I would recommend you go and at least talk to her and go to SwissDentalCenter.com on the internet and give that a shot and give it a look. All right, other things that are going on. Other things are happening. What time is it? It's 2:15 already. Time flies when you're having fun. Let's say congratulations to Cal Poly Mustangs. They blew out Menlo Park 91-58. You know why it would be? They said that this was a the Mustang 7-3 won the fifth time in the past six games and tied the best Division I start in school history with a non-league win. I would like to know with that score how close that is to the highest score the Mustangs have had, because that sounds like a pretty big number, 91. Anyway, bonds hearing to end the Valco drug saga. The largest federal criminal investigation in sports doping began more than 9 years ago. A tax agent digging through the trash of the now notorious Valco. Barring appeal, the government's work comes to an anticlimactic end Friday when Barry Bonds, the probe's highest profile catch, is sentenced for obstruction of justice. And also, this is let me go backwards to Cal Poly. 10 Cal Poly players named to the all-time Great West football team, which is really cool. So there we are. We got the guys in the news. The Clippers finally get Paul from the Hornets. So this took forever, this Chris Paul thing. Not the Lakers. The Hornets have traded Paul to the Clippers for guard Eric Gordon, forward Al-Farouq Aminu, center Chris Kaman, and a first-round draft choice. It'd be kind of strange, that trade. They don't trade us in broadcasting. They just shut the door. You go to do your shout, and the key doesn't work. Oh, darn. Okay. There's another attack at the Tascadero State Hospital, another worker. And here we're going to get this violent, crazy people unit. This must be very special how they're going to do this. They're going to have barbed wire and, God knows, swords or something. I don't know what they're going to have. All right. Other people are in the news. Appeal denied for proposed Morrow home on Cerrito Peak, and a decision by the city council boiled down to property rights, Mayor Bill Yates says. I have to tell you that there are private property rights that are often in the name of something else, and especially with the Coastal Commission, trampled all over in the name of something else. And it's often very disturbing. You know, it really is. For people to say, "Well, we're going to," and the worst part of it is when you deny someone the right to do something like that. You basically what you've done is you've negated the entire value of the investment that they have in the property. You said, "Well, okay, you can't do anything with it, but you can have the piece of property." Yeah, great. And you can start a garden. So anyway, that's kind of weird. All right. PG&E boss marks his first 90 days. I don't know why 90 days. How isn't the president have 100 days? Don't we count 100 days with the president? What's this 90? Couldn't we wait 10 days? anyway, that's kind of funny to me. Anthony Early is his name. Early to bed, early to... Okay, other things are going on. The San Miguel Electrical Light Parade will take place this Saturday evening. It's a day of fun for all. The holiday vendors' fair will open about noon. Shops will also be open. The chili cook-off heats up at Station 3 at 4 p.m. Funds raised will go to the volunteer firefighters who are major sponsors. And so all those people will then be involved in that. Okay. Now, let me mention somebody else here, because there's somebody near and dear to my heart who has moved, and we want to make sure that you know where she is. She's next to the DMV.
Karen Scott Audiology has moved to a new location. She is now located at 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320, next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo, and now easy to find and plenty of parking. Stop in and see her at her beautiful new facilities. Karen Scott has been serving the Central Coast for over 30 years. Board certified, she and her staff understands the need to have your hearing checked. From your child to your teen, your mother to your grandparents, hearing loss can occur at any age. And it's nice to know that Karen Scott has the knowledge and experience to help you with all your hearing aid needs, with a wide selection to choose from. They also offer industrial screenings. Give Karen Scott a call today for your free consultation, 541-1790, or stop by 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320, next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo, helping you hear the things you love.
Wow. Now San Luis Diagnostic Center has a new MR scanner to meet everyone's needs. If you're somewhat claustrophobic or simply uncomfortable being placed in a small tube, you can choose the brand new 3 Tesla Open MRI. This new gold standard in MR imaging was previously available only at research institutions such as the Mayo Clinic. Now it's available locally at San Luis Diagnostic Center. It's the most open ultra-high-field scanner in the world, and its state-of-the-art technology can diagnose disease far earlier, with radiologists specially trained in the interpretation of neurological and bone and joint diseases. San Luis Diagnostic Center offers an uncompromising combination of technology and physician expertise. The next time your doctor recommends that you have an MRI, insist on the best. The Ultra High Field Open MRI, only at San Luis Diagnostic Center. All major insurances accepted.
You're now in Bill Benica's world, where talk is cheap.
Talk is cheap right here. You're in Bill Benica's world right there. Here was a letter I got a kick out of. Short and sweet right here from Bob in Paso Robles. I love this letter. As a daily reader of the newspaper, I find that there are many interesting topics, so here are my thoughts on some of those. To the lady who doesn't like what your emergency is, don't read it. To Golden State Water Company, any company that wants to increase rates due to lost revenue because they ask the consumers to conserve should be fined and made to lower rates for the next 5 years. To PG&E, you donated to the Pops concert and now donate a mile of lights to the Octagon Barn, and you want to raise rates for the consumers. Maybe you should stop donating. And last, to all those who do not like Walmart, don't shop there. Merry Christmas to all. I liked it. Okay. Here's a guy who said we got to keep the U.S. Postal Service going. He says there's a lot of these theories about how to do the Postal Service. And this is interesting because where would it end up, I wonder? I mean, could they get it to where it doesn't lose money? Could they get it to where it doesn't lose money? So you have this idea, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday delivery. But now you're going to have postal workers that are half-time workers. And how many postal workers can afford to be half-time workers? And so it's crazy. That's crazy. And the political cartoon today was not a funny one. It was the Dover Air Force Base scandal, and the Uncle Sam is standing in front of the landfill of the unknown soldier, pulling his head in disgrace. Ain't so. Other things are happening. Other things are happening today on this Thursday. Oh, can I? I've heard from elves, the elves that work at the stores, you know, throughout the Central Coast. I've heard from a number of elves in a number of places, and people apparently are being very rude, quite frankly. Shoppers are being quite rude. Maybe just by suggesting you could stop that. Is there any way to stop that? Stop that. Be nice. Could U.S. drivers drop cell phones? I don't know. Many Americans conduct business on the road, so a ban on all use of the cell phones while driving may be widely ignored. This is the true story. It will be widely ignored if they do it. I mean, it's like it's ignored now here in California. Nobody, you know, look at all the people that aren't paying attention. Now, that's not everybody. There are people that are paying attention. It'd be wrong to say that there aren't people that say, okay, I'm not supposed to be using my cell phone, or I'm supposed to be using the Bluetooth, whatever the thing, whatever, and I'm not texting, and I'm not doing what I'm supposed to. As a guy who was a salesman on the road in Los Angeles, I have to tell you, a cell phone would have been the greatest thing in the entire world, even if I had to pull over to use it, because it would beat the heck out of trying to find a pay phone, which is what we used to have to do. And, there, you know, some of these places, you're out in the middle of nowhere, you know, you're out in Ruby-Doo and Cucamonga and some of these other places where there's nobody there at the time. There'd be one pay phone and there'd be 25 salesmen standing in line waiting to use it, you know, so because you had to get hold of the office, which was now miles away. So I think it's been a boon for business people, a lot of business people. I think it really has, but understanding that it's dangers are fairly well known. Returns start before wrapping begins. People get excited, they buy it, and then they take it back. They're binging on big discounts. Stores have made it easier to take things back. The stores are undercutting each other in a tough economy, so people are buying stuff and taking it back. Shoppers are also, again, doing something holiday spend after taking a break following their spree over the Thanksgiving weekend. Shopper Track, based in Chicago, reported late Tuesday that sales for the week ended Saturday rose 10.6% from the previous week, though business fell 1.9% compared with the same week a year ago. So things are on the up and up.
Don't worry. Be happy.
Look at me, I'm happy.
Don't worry.
happy. I give you my phone number. When you're worried, call me. I make you happy. Don't worry. Be happy. So listen to what I say. In your life, expect some trouble. When you worry, you make it double. Don't worry. Be happy. Be happy now. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy.
Don't worry, be happy. We have a wounded warrior returning in 45 minutes to San Luis Obispo Airport. We would very much like to have you turn out, if you could, to welcome home Lance Corporal Cody Elliott. If you can get to the airport starting now, head for the airport, and welcome him home. It doesn't take long, and you get to sign a card and everything, wave flags, and just pat the guy on the back and say thanks for your service. We're going to be together again tomorrow, Friday. Don't forget Karen Veeley from CalcosNews.com in here first thing, and we'll talk about the weekend news and the review from CalcosNews.com. Plus, we'll have all the other craziness going on. Until then, may your trails be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because...
This is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benica.
Happy trails to you. Until we meet again, happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Happy trails to you. Till we meet again.
Isabella, bring a torch to the cradle.